living for Christ at the end of the age. And I want to kind of explain what I mean by that because of the time in which we live. Paul tells us something fascinating right here in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11, and I'll read it to you. It says, "Now all these things happened to them as examples." Now that's chapter 10. That's everything that is already in chapter 10. It's all the Old Testament events. But it's interesting, the word example is the word type. It's something that represents spiritual truth for us. And then the verse goes on to say, "And they were written for our admonition," and the word admonition means to lay truth upon our minds. So my goal in looking at this text is to lay the truth on your mind that we're supposed to live for Christ in the last days, at the end of the age. And then look what Paul says, "upon whom the ends of the ages have come." He's talking about himself. Now think about that. Paul believed he was living at the end of days. And so Paul planned his days, every one of them, like it was his last day to live. And Paul scheduled all the big events in his life like the next day he might be standing right in front of Jesus Christ. I mean, what a way to live. And we can see this coming out in so many ways as you study the Bible. The very first letter Paul wrote, his first epistle to the Thessalonians, he talks about Christ's return in every chapter and talks about being unblameable, looking forward to seeing Christ and saying, "Lord, I did what you left me to do." And then Paul included himself in the rapture. When he described it, he said, "Then we which are alive and remain will be caught up." Now, look again at this verse. 1 Corinthians 10:11. "Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition." So we're supposed to be learning from the scripture and being admonished by it as we live at the end of the age. Now, the next slide, and I want you to look at that. I just want you to see a little bit about what life was like in the time period when the New Testament was written. The deified emperors were wanting worship. So there was this ruler saying, "I want to be worshiped." There were strong religious deceptions. Paul was always dealing with people that were coming and trying to sow error in everything he taught. There were multiplied false teachers. The Christians went through physical and mental persecution and looming imprisonments. They were being put in jail for Christ. And there was also everything going on in the Roman Empire, empire-wide unrest. The Parthians, those were the people that lived all the way in what we would call Persia today, and the mountains of, you know, going in up into eastern part of the old Soviet Union. The Parthians were kind of always enemies at the gates. And then there were little famines and pestilences in the ancient world always going on. Now, look at the next slide. Think about life today. I mean, right here where we are, we're waiting on the results of the presidential election in America. It's kind of like the whole world is holding their breath. But we're in the middle of a global COVID-19 pandemic fear. I mean, people are living in fear. And every day we see how many people have died. Then we have nuclear proliferation. Iran is building nuclear weapons and other countries. Saudi Arabia has started a reactor and so much more. There's terrorism. I mean, yesterday in France, the horrible terror attack. There's global religious deception. In fact, I just watched a documentary called The Social Dilemma. And it said that the world needs to agree on what's called truth because people have too much fake news. Well, the only way that will happen is when the one prophesied comes and says he's the answer to all humanity's problems. And the world will hail him as their long-awaited savior and peacemaker and the one they want to worship. And it's not the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the anti-Lord, anti-Jesus, anti-Christ. God calls him the beast. God calls him the man of sin. And all the current trends we see of all these things on the slide, the financial uncertainty, the political uncertainty, all of this fear of terrorism and weapons of mass destruction are just shaping the stage for his arrival. So let's get into the scriptures. Living for Jesus at the end of the age. And what 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11 said is, Paul's life is an example for us. Because he is one that said, I'm living like it's the end of the world at any moment. So let's survey Paul's life, okay? And all of you know this. I just want to show it to you and remind you. This is the lifetime of Paul. You see on the left there, his birth. He was probably born about 4 BC. When Jesus Christ was crucified was about 30 AD. Paul was saved maybe a little after that, about AD 33. That's in Acts 9. And then he's martyred in 67 AD. So everything we read about Paul in Acts covers that period you see on the slide between 30 and 60 AD. Now in the next slide, let me just go through Paul's life because I want you to learn from his example. He was saved about AD 33. He went off and was trained all alone with Jesus Christ in the backside of the desert from maybe 33 to 35. That's in Galatians 1. You can see the reference there. Then he went home. Do you see the middle there? He went to Tarsus. And that's Acts 9, 23 to 30. Then he is introduced to Barnabas. And Barnabas goes and finds him and takes him to Antioch. And then we see that Paul goes on that first missionary journey. That's what's the event number 5. Now look at the next slide. Paul has a second missionary journey. And from that, you notice that he writes Galatians, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians. Then he has his third missionary journey. And then goes to Caesarea in prison. Then he goes to Rome. And then his final release. And he's martyred. Now, what does all that mean? Well, if you look back, the first point is Paul, look at the bottom of the slide. Paul trained 14 years in order to serve 10 years. Now, don't forget that. In fact, on the board behind me, I've written these things on the marker board that are kind of amplifications of Paul's life. And we'll come and look at those. But Paul trained 14 years to serve for 10 years. Then look at the bottom of the next slide. He served those 10 years. Then he went to prison. And then he spent almost a whole decade in a hard, alone, suffering time of imprisonment, never knowing when his life was going to end. Okay, what are the lessons from that? Here's the next slide. Much of Paul's life was invested serving God while he was waiting. We could put it this way. Paul served 10 years and he waited 24 years to serve 10 years. Do you understand? That's a huge proportion. It's 2 to 1. He was kind of waiting for what we call his missionary journeys. For 14 years, he was getting ready. For 10 years, he was waiting to die and couldn't do anything on the road. So think about that. Much of his life. Now, what's kind of a lesson we can learn from that? Paul's example for us is, how do you live at the end of the age? When you know Jesus Christ is coming at any moment, that's what it says in verse 11, for our admonition upon whom the ends of the ages have come, that's us. Paul's example is how to live that way. Well, what is the first lesson? Study all you can. Preparation is vital. Paul spent 3 years in Arabia. Jesus taught him. And a verse on that is Philippians 3:10. Paul wanted to know all he could know about Christ. And while you have time, in fact, today is the only day we're sure we have. Yesterday's gone. Tomorrow, we're not sure what the Lord's going to give us. Today, make sure you take a step forward in knowing Christ. Number two, next slide. Wait for God's timing. Growth takes time. Think of Paul spending 7 years in Tarsus. He was in his hometown. And during that time, probably many of the persecutions that are recorded in 2 Corinthians happened because they're not in the book of Acts, a lot of them. And think of the verse. See on the slide, Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Wait for God's timing. Be patient. Let God grow you. Now, think about this. Paul knew Jesus could come at any minute, and yet he studied all he could. And yet he was willing to wait for God's timing for him to launch into ministry. That is such a word for us. We who many people today just can't figure out what to think about the time in which we live. It just seems so prophetic. You know what the Lord says? Study all you can, wait for God's timing. Look at the next one. Number three, listen to a Barnabas. Everybody needs discipleship. Look what it says on the slide. Think of 3+ years in Antioch. And what did Paul learn there? That's the Galatians 2:20. He learned what it meant to be crucified with Christ and still live, but not be me anymore, but Christ living through me. Listen to a Barnabas. If you don't have anybody discipling you, find someone, pursue someone that knows the Lord and say, I would like you to come alongside me and cultivate Christ-likeness. Next slide. And each of these have so ministered. The more that I think about them, the more they touch my heart. But number four, do you see that? Run the race. I'm talking about the 10-year race of those missionary journeys. God can do so much in short order. Think of Paul's 10 years in missions. And Philippians 3 that you see on the slide really captures it. Paul was pressing toward the prize. He was going to run the race. He was going to do as much as he could in those 10 years of the first, second, and third missionary journey. And he just poured himself into it. Next slide. Number five. Learn contentment. Now, what time period is this? Look on the slide. Paul spent the next 6 years after his missionary journeys in prison. Maybe it was 10 years. We're not sure. It was more than 6 years, close to 10 probably. Learn contentment. Why? See what it says? God can use us anywhere. See what Philippians 4:11 says? I've learned to be content. Now think about it. Paul found himself in jail. What did he do? During some of his jail time, he wrote epistles. He wrote prison epistles. He wrote Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Philemon. When Paul was in prison, he wrote. When he couldn't write, when he was totally, you know, chained to guards, he witnessed. And he shared the gospel with the people that, you know, they changed the guards. They had shifts. And I don't know whether they were 4-hour, 8-hour shifts, but Paul just had a continuous new group that were right there within arm's reach. And he just witnessed. Now look at number five. Learn contentment. Why? Because God wants to use us anywhere. He wants to use us, you know, if you're unemployed in the unemployment line, if you're in school while you're in school, if you're sick while you're in the hospital, if you're at home with the people you live with, God can use us anywhere. And then look at the last one, number six. Love Jesus more than everything. Why? Because no one is indispensable. Paul was there imprisoned. He was lonely. He had impending death. But what did he write from that time period? Look on the slide. 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8. He said, I have fought a good fight. I've finished the race. What he said is, he said, I'm not the indispensable one. The Church of Jesus Christ is going to go on without me. It's not like everything depends on me. You know, that's how you live at the end of the ages, realizing that all that's important is that I love Jesus more than anything else. Now, the next slide, let's go through all of them at once and think about how to apply this. As I read each of these, think of your own life. Right now, are you studying all you can? You should, because preparation is vital. Number two, are you waiting for God's timing, for ministry, for your life's partner, for how you can serve the Lord? Growth takes time. Are you listening to a Barnabas? Because everyone needs discipleship. Are you running the race? Are you doing what the Lord has given you? God can do so much in a short amount of time. Are you learning to be content? God can use us anywhere. Don't hope to be somewhere else. So many people wish they were somewhere else, wish they were someone else. They want to be someone they think is famous. Why not just be who God gifted you to be? God can use us anywhere. He designed us to use us right where we are. There are a group of people I right now can minister to that no one else can. And there are a group of people you can minister to that no one else can. And finally, number six, love Jesus more than everything else in the world. Because no one is indispensable but Christ. The next slide. Paul gave us an example. It's for us. That's what 1 Corinthians 10:11 says. It's how we're supposed to live at the end of the age. And boy, we're living at the end of the age. Have you thought about the fact the COVID-19 testing also not only does a viral test, it gives some DNA. Every one of those samples, whether a swab, whether they're the saliva test, they're all giving DNA. It's all preparing the world for the Antichrist coming on stage. So what's the lesson for us? Last slide before I pray. Paul was waiting for Christ's return. That was the big picture. But as he waited, he was trusting God's plan for him. And God's plan for him was to study all he could, because preparation is vital, to wait for God's timing, because growth takes time, to listen to a Barnabas, because everyone needs discipleship, to run the race that God laid down for him, because God can do so much in a short time, and the whole time to be learning contentment, because God wants to use me anywhere, and to love Jesus more than everything else, because none of us are indispensable. And that, as you see on the last slide, is how we live for Christ at the end of the age. And so my challenge for you is, when you look at the news, wake up tomorrow morning and look and see whether the world is still holding together, how many people have died of COVID-19, how many more are infected, and who won the election, and everything else, remember, we're supposed to live for Christ like we're living at the end of the ages. And you know what the Bible said? Paul was. And so are we. Let's bow for prayer. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that your word shaped the Apostle Paul. I thank you that you want your word to shape our lives. And I pray that we would heed this admonition to live for you, like we're living at the end of the age, like you're coming today, like we might wake up tomorrow in glory. We want to run the race. We want to learn to be content. We want to study all we can. Oh, I pray for some to reach out and have a Barnabas in their life that will cultivate godliness and lead them toward maturity. But most of all, I pray we would love you more than anything else. That's our prayer. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you. Thanks so much. I wish I was there. Bonnie and I would take every one of you out, sit with you at lunch, and sit in your dorms, but we can't. So all we can do is pray. So God bless you.